I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing? Come on in. Sit on down. This one's a bit of a random one. This is an off-the-cuff commentary video. And we're going to talk about iPad kids. Now, this is near and dear to my heart, as you can imagine. You know, I have two children of my own who are Gen Alpha. One of them's just turned four, the other one at this point. And I am very much in the business of raising children in this world. And it's actually something people ask me about quite a lot, like any advice as a conspiracy theorist, Christian, truth, or whatever category you want to label yourself as. And raising children in this world when everything is kind of just terrible and falling apart. And unfortunately, I don't have any sound advice exactly because I'm going through it. I haven't done enough to gather enough knowledge to give any advice yet. And because we're living in such a unique, strange time of technological advancement, the landscape is it's like unknown. It's not been tread yet. We no one knows how to navigate the map yet because we haven't had long enough in it to explore and understand a thing or two. But what I can do is observe the trends of parenting in the modern age and how some children are behaving or kind of what's happening to them. And there is this growing concern that there's a generation of children that have been raised on nothing but technology, and they call them iPad kids. And it's getting to the point now where my YouTube feed is kind of full of compilations of people freaking out at the behavior of iPad children and kind of worried about it, like, this can't be good, you know. And I was watching one today, and we'll play in a minute and I'll give you some commentary as we go along, but you watch this and you think, yeah, what are we doing? Like, who's to blame here? How did this happen? And I feel like what I'm doing for my subscribers here is I'm keeping a finger on the pulse of what's going on outside of the world of conspiracy, you know. And like, what can we observe in the world around us as kind of like symptoms of the major overarching problem that we're dealing with? And do we blame parents for stuff like what we're about to look at today? Or is there grander agendas at play that have facilitated the circumstances to make children behave and act like they are? I mean, literacy rates are down, attention spans are down, dopamine and serotonin is up, you know, and I think it's causing some serious consequences for the future of our own civilization. I just want you to see this if you kind of been stuck in your own echo chamber for a while and haven't bothered to look into this type of thing. I just want you to see kind of what we're dealing with and what new generations are being raised like. I think it's healthy to see. So I switched the screen up here. This video is by Casey Simpson. Never heard of the guy until today. He looks like a big YouTuber for all I know, but he has compiled this video talking about iPad parents. And he has his own shtick and his own spin and his own comedic style. Take that for what it is, but he has compiled some decent footage here, so let's have a listen.
Gen Alpha can't read, speak English, or watch a movie without going on their iPads, but they're not to blame. It's their parents.
Just straight up can't keep focused on just one individual game, so they need to be playing three at the same time.
Gen Alpha was raised by the millennials who had the anti-bullying campaigns in school, who thought they were parented too harshly, and so now not only will they let their kids do whatever they want, they will hand their kids an iPad in order to make sure the kids aren't disruptive. And what's worse is when you bring up all the problems that these iPad kids are having, millennial parents will die on the hill of giving their kids iPads. And if you question it, they say you can't say anything because you don't have kids.
We're iPad parents. If you try to give us some kind of advice and you don't have kids, we're not gonna listen to you.
All right, listen, I may not have kids, but the rest of us are going to be around your kids and hire your kids and have to work for your kids and have your kids run the economy and the political system. Gen Alpha is voting in 2 years, and we're these kids' cousins and uncles and siblings, and we're concerned. We have to watch them completely zombify and explode if they don't have their iPad around them.
Okay, we are cooked. Yep, we are absolutely cooked, chat. GG.
Then millennial...
Look at that kid there. Two... A phone and an iPad at the same time, you know, just back and forth, constant stimulation. And this YouTube seems to want to pin it on millennials, I guess, and he's Gen Z himself. and say this is millennial parents' fault. It's the problem of the parents, parenting style of millennials who were coddled as children and, you know, the whole given an award and anti-bullying like classes and believe they were treated unfairly as children by their parents. So they're just going to let their children have free reign and do whatever they want. And I guess I think it's a bit reductive. I don't think it's quite like that because I am a millennial. I'm a young millennial. Maybe something said for slightly older millennials than me, you know, born in the late 80s rather than the early 90s. And I have seen there is a disparity, like a difference between our generation, the millennials, when it comes to raising children, because I have older siblings and brothers and sisters-in-laws and so on. You know, I have family who are of the millennial bracket, but they're kind of more like a boomer light version because they still, I don't know, they had a very different upbringing to, let's say, someone like me, a young millennial, my wife, who was born in the early 90s, you know, like 92, 93. I think we have a very different parenting style and it comes across clearly when our kids get together. And it seems like, yeah, the older millennial generation do appear to do that. They are raising iPad children. Like that does seem to be the case. Like, I mean that I've had it where I brought my children along to a restaurant with one of the, you know, whoever I'm with, and they have their kids there too. And when the adults are talking, you know, I find that what they do is they just give their children the iPad. And they just sit there and watch. And as a result, my children end up sitting there and watching as well. And I'm not actually too comfortable with that because me and my wife have made a conscious effort to not let our children have screen time. Very minimal screen time when they do, and it has to be educational and it's within our limits and they don't have control over it. They don't have screens or iPads. And we've got them an MP3 player, you know, but that you have to manually click through to get the songs and stuff like this. So we got them a Yoto player, which has audiobooks on it, where you have to put a plastic card in a machine and a very minimalistic dial setting to get to the audiobooks. And we have taught our child to read at a very early age. We have taken an active role in his education and our children's education. And my child, like I said, my son is 4 years old and now he can spell three-letter words almost, and some four-letter words. He's starting to string sentences together. He can read, okay? But this major, like the opening statement of the video we just watched is, Gen Alpha can't read. And that's just not true. That's a very inflammatory, over-the-top statement. Some can't read. It's more like what we should be saying. And their parents do tend to be of the millennial age. And I think there is some blame, certainly, for millennials. But not all of us, and this is, I think the language that we use when talking about generational problems is always like they're a monolith no matter what. All boomers are evil and responsible for the destruction of the future generation, or all millennials are raising terrible kids and raising iPad kids. It's like, that is just not true. But this is certainly a problem. I'll acknowledge there's a serious issue here. And yes, there does seem to be a massive issue of Generation Alpha being addicted to screens. But so are millennials, and so are Gen Z, and so is every generation now heavily addicted to technology. We are so heavily dependent on it, it's not even funny. It's a serious problem. Worse than cigarettes or crack cocaine or heroin or any other sort of addiction you can imagine. I think this is more widespread and maybe not immediately dangerous, but long term, the consequences are dire, absolutely dire. So yeah, you know, I just to my own take on the premise of this video, is it millennials' fault that this is happening necessarily? I don't think so. I think this is technology's fault. This is the people who have facilitated the environment through technocratic corporations getting our children young and putting screens in front of them, you know, and making it cheaper and easier for parents to do such a thing, to give them that way out. And there is some onus on the parents, though, to take responsibility. And as you saw there, you know, kids are noisy. They do talk, they do play in restaurants, they do all those things, okay? And the solution isn't just giving them a screen to zombify them for 2 hours while you eat your meal. Because they're not there, they're not with you, they're not learning or growing, and they're definitely not learning how to behave in a restaurant. Okay? I think you have to let children be noisy at first to learn the rules to learn what the consequences of being a child in a public environment. You know, eventually they'll start to consciously be aware that people don't like it when I do this, people like it when I do that. And then eventually you'll get good kids who can sit there quietly in a restaurant and eat without the need for a screen. Give them a colouring book or something instead, or something to do, you know. There are alternatives, and I think the environment is more to blame here than simply just millennials. I think the system we are in now has made it so it's easier to do such things as give your child a screen. And I think every generation is to blame on this front. I think they all do it and they're all kind of responsible for it. And there does seem to be an attitude from Gen Z like they're above it all or something. Like they look down on any generation that does these type of things. Or we can see the problem, we're not going to do that with our kids. Which is good. I think it's good that Gen Z can see the mistakes previous generations are making and are going to make that conscious effort to do the opposite. But I also find a lot of Gen Z don't want to have children. So are they really going to solve the problem if they're not going to have kids and raise them the way they think kids should be raised themselves as well? So I think there's I just want to make that clear. Like, we can't stop blaming every generation and one another for our terrible habits as though like we're responsible for all the ills in the world. When, as a conspiracy theorist, I know we have a common enemy above all of this that is systematically working to divide us all and get our children indoctrinated under their regime and plan for the future. And if they can raise a generation of kids who can't read, well, that's very advantageous. Just look at basic history for that. Populations who can't read are easily controlled. That's why the printing press was a major revolution when it came along, and that's why things like the Catholic Church have always maintained the idea that only they can read the books to the peasants, you know, and the peasants who can't read, so they dictate what the book says and what the rules are. And when people started reading it for themselves, that power structure very quickly fell apart. So you can understand how it's advantageous, right, for an overarching conspiratorial control regime to take away the ability to read from people and have the only thing telling them what things mean be an AI robotic chatbot who reads things for them, okay? And they have no way to back up or confirm that what was just read to them is what the thing actually says. That's very advantageous for a totalitarian regime, is it not? So I think we need to look bigger picture here when we're looking to put blame on why is this happening. But the video we're watching is very much orientated around the idea of, no, this is millennials' fault. So let's just watch that with that in mind, okay?
Parents will say it's better to give their kids an iPad so they're not disruptive at the restaurant. You know what's cheaper than an iPad? A coloring book. You are conditioning your child to need an iPad and rewarding him every time he's disruptive with giving him the ultimate simulation of an iPad. Don't you think that creates a cycle where your kid will become disruptive in order to get the iPad? These parents put up videos of their kids at Cheesecake Factory quiet on their iPads as if it's an accomplishment. But these kids are completely zombified.
Exactly. Yeah, they're just zombies. They're not there. They're not learning anything. They're not learning to... Everyone always puts like... emphasis on you gotta socialize your kids, this is why you can't homeschool. Yet they'll go and do this when out socializing, lock them off from the rest of the world with a screen. The irony is palpable, isn't it? Because the truth is, if you want children to behave at a restaurant, you have to teach them how to by letting them experience being in a restaurant and actually being there consciously. Yeah, so I agree with this guy's point on this.
One family left the entire dinner table, and the kid didn't even notice because he was so into Coco Melon.
Oh, I'm still at the restaurant, still.
You're raising a zombie!
The hubris of the rest of the world seeing an entire generation become zombified with iPads, and their parents saying, oh, well, I don't care if they disrupt society, you can't comment because you don't have kids, is astounding. And also, iPads are not a necessity of life. I know kids who were raised very intentionally to not have iPads, and they don't look at you like Hannibal Lecter when you take their electronics away. It's getting so bad that kids getting a haircut have their mom stand in front of them with YouTube shorts scrolling as the kid's mind melts into a puddle and doesn't realize he just got a bad mohawk.
Take a closer look and she's playing a YouTube short to the kid. And I'm like, wow, like that's pretty shocking. And the mom looks pissed, like she is totally out of it. And then I see her scroll once the video's done and then she continues doing that the entire haircut. The kid does not look once to see how his haircut's looking in the mirror. No, he's looking straight at this YouTube Shorts feed that he's just watching. Every 30 to 60 seconds, she just swipes. And what's even crazier is after his haircut was done, he didn't even check to see it in the mirror. He grabbed his mom's phone, sat down, and kept watching YouTube Shorts.
Kids are going to...
Yeah, that's terrifying. I mean, my son at the hairdresser's is a nightmare. He will not keep still. He can't keep still, and he's watching every move the guy's making. Because I don't put an iPad in front of him. I don't put my phone in front of him. I got to the point now where I can leave him, and he's getting better. He will listen to what the person says. He'll keep his head straight, you know. He'll stop looking down when because he wants to get away from the scissors or the thing. He's getting used to the buzz near his ears, you know. But that took time. He's four. I've had many haircuts with him, like at least, I don't know, a good 20 haircuts in that time, maybe. And it was a struggle at first. It was. And I didn't resort to showing him things on the phone. I would give him a snack. That's a good one. Give him some food. Talk to him about what's happening and how it's going down and why they're doing it. Help them understand the necessity of it. And why they have to do this particular thing at this particular time. Teach them the difference between what scissors are and what electric buzz cuts are. You know, like the difference between shavers and the rest of it and the hair products they use and why they use them. What are different combs. Get them involved in the process. And they'll eventually calm down and be able to get their hair cut and sit still. It's not going to happen instantly. And it will never happen if you never let them be there, present in the moment, to actually consciously learn. Putting the phone in front of them switches them off. It removes the learning part of their brain in the experiential absorption part of their brain to switches off. And now they're just in that, is it theta wave or beta wave form, where they're just, they're a zombie. It's in one ear, out the other by that point. They're distracted. Entertained, you know, the mind is entrapped. Anyway, let's carry on. But yeah, that's how I deal with the haircut thing. Snacks. I'm serious. Just give them food and talk to them.
Hockey games and playing on their hockey apps instead of looking at the game.
Okay, we are cooked. Yeah, we are absolutely cooked, Jack.
This is clearly the first step in WALL-E. We are not experiencing anything in the real world. We are literally going to real world events and watching simulations of those events on screen. This girl is doing virtual reality at an actual football game.
You're absolutely cooked, Jack.
Look at the hyper-stimulation of this kid as he's switching from Minecraft to Instagram Reels. It's so bad. I know a kid my age who said he would scroll on Instagram Reels until he got bored, and then he would switch to TikTok, and then he'd get bored, and then he'd switch back to Instagram Reels, and maybe he'd show in YouTube Shorts if he's feeling frisky. Think about how much worse that is for the Alphites. And more insidiously,
Alphite. That's a hell of a terminology. I've never heard that one before. Yeah, that's bad, though. That is really bad that they can't even be there in the moment to watch the game itself. I have to watch the game on a screen in order to feel comfortable being in an environment full of people. I think this is the problem, that they are not learning how to interact in the world when you give them the screen. That you're augmenting their reality so much to the point now where they can't actually be in reality without the augmentation to feel safe and comfortable. It's like a blanket. It's like a safety blanket. And that's not good. That needs to stop. That has to stop. Because the world is a scary place. It's a place that where you need to pay attention. You can't be in that state of mind. You can't be that fragile in this world. It will eat you up. Okay? This is a bad sign if this trend continues, and it will. It is continuing. It is getting worse, far, far worse. But it stops with us, not the millennials or Gen Z or Gen X or every single one of us. It stops with us right now to take the responsibility to raise our children ourselves and not defer it to machines. Okay, that is it. That is the solution. Just turn them off. And talk to your children and read books to them. But I was making a video the other day, and it's kind of, actually, kids don't read. They don't know how to read. And because they get ChatGPT to read text for them and tell them what it says, and parents have not taught their children to read, and even the schools and the teachers are complaining, like, oh, you know, kids can't read, they're coming to school and they can't read. So there's also, I blame the teachers as well, and so does my wife. It's kind of, well, hang on, we've sent them to school to learn to read, so teach them to read then. But they don't even want to take on that responsibility. The teachers don't even want to take on the responsibility to teach children to read. Like, so who's going to teach them to read? Well, then it's going to have to go back to the parents if the bloody teachers in the schools aren't even going to teach them how to read. Because the kids aren't going to do it themselves if they've just got ChatGPT to do it for them. Why would they? Like, that's not actually dumb. That's quite clever on their behalf. Well, why would I learn to read when I don't have to? It's a waste of time, you know. And we need to somehow teach them that actually, you know, why does that not make sense? Well, on the surface, that makes perfect sense. So we need to try and explain to them why, if you don't know how to read and write for yourself, you can be lied to. That's what we should be telling them. That's the importance behind it. It says, if you trust something else to tell you what something says, it can lie to you. And you will not be able to confirm nor deny that what they said to you is true or not. Reading and writing is a powerful skill. And in a way, I've kind of realized, well, if this is what most kids are doing now, they're not able to read or write and are not learning to, and their attention spans are being destroyed, then does that mean my own children who don't get screen time and who are being taught to read and write at a very early age are going to be gods among men when they're adults? Like, is that how it's going to go? Because it's going to be the ones that can read and write that are going to have an extreme advantage over the rest of them. And I've heard people argue, I think Asmongold was even saying something like this, like, no, I'm going to teach my kids, I'm going to give them iPads, I'm going to make sure they have all the technology because that's the future that's coming and they need to be prepared for it. And those that don't do that are not going to be prepared for the future. And I'm thinking the opposite. I'm thinking, actually, no, because it's the ones that can read and write that are going to continue to build stuff, to be engineers, to write things, to write the scripts and the stories the AI are going to rip off, you know. This, you still need human creativity and ingenuity for civilization to continue. The machines themselves are not going to be able to innovate. They can only emulate and copy. So the innovators will be those who still have the basic skills of comprehension that come with reading and writing. So I would still encourage you to teach your children to read or write, regardless of what the world tells you. It's a powerful skill, extremely powerful. And, you know, the person who can, it's basically Idiocracy. If you can read and write, you can become the president of the United States in the future. That's all the qualification you'll need, it seems. I shouldn't laugh because it's a very terrifying thought, but that feels like where it's going, right? That definitely feels like where it's going.
We all take brain rot as like a Gen Alpha quirk, but what does brain rot mean? Like, all these words perpetuated by Gen Alpha kids, they're learning them from other Gen Alpha kids, and they think it's the funniest and best thing in the world.
Oh no!
These 8-year-old brain rotted kids are looking to other 8-year-old brain rotters as people to emulate. That's who they want approval from. They don't want approval from the non-brain rotted parts of the world. To paraphrase the Bible, it's the brain rotted leading the brain rotted. Just look at this 3-year-old girl crying, and then immediately watch her cries go away as she gets her iPad.
Hi, kids! Hi! That is my 1-year-old and food. Just letting you know, that's exactly how he behaves until he gets some blueberries or some strawberries or some veggie straws or a breadstick or a rice cake, anything, just a snack in general. That's him. He will scream the most blood-curdling scream until he gets some food. And I would rather him doing that over food than something like an iPad, because food is a necessity, right? He needs it to grow. Like, yeah, fair enough, you know, kid. Yes, you're hungry? Scream away so I know you're hungry. Whatever, you know. Hopefully you get out the habit of screaming like an absolute banshee eventually, you know. Hopefully they'll grow out of that and you'll just learn to say, I'm hungry, which I'm sure you will. But to have that reaction over a phone, that's a huge problem. That's a huge problem. That's addiction and not knowing how to regulate the intense need for the thing they're addicted to. And it comes out in screams. And once they get the hit, instant nervous system relaxation. And that's addiction. that is addiction, coming from somebody who's been addicted to things, this is terrifying. Now, thankfully, my one-year-old plays, has toys, keeps himself very busy, and does not care about phones. Okay, does not care about them. Not even curious about them, and I'm thankful for that. But it comes from not doing it in that instance where you have that urge, oh, I wish they'd just leave me alone for a minute, or shut up, do I just give them my phone for a second just so I can have a moment's peace? Don't give in to that. And eventually, once you break through those early temptations and you get past it, you'll realize they never needed it, and now they're free from it, and they're not reliant on it. They've already learned habits to entertain themselves that didn't require the screen. So now they don't know any different, so they can continue to do the healthy thing and play with a toy. I feel like, why the hell am I giving basic child rearing advice on a YouTube channel? I don't feel like I should have to say this stuff. Anyway.
Like, these parents think they figured something out. Yeah, if you give your kid an iPad, they'll be more quiet. Also, if you suffocate them with chloroform, they'll be quiet. Doesn't mean it's good. We cannot choose convenience and avoiding a kid crying over sacrificing their entire brain. Because the truth is, after you sufficiently tell your kid they're not going to be rewarded with an iPad for screaming, their imaginations and their inner world and their desire to color or talk with real people will come back. Exactly. Kids adapt. If they know they're not going to get an iPad, then they're not going to scream to get one in the first place.
It's boredom. We should let kids be bored. I think this is another thing that seems to have been forgotten, because like, it's hard to be bored this day and age when there's so much to do and so many things on a screen for you to tantalize your senses. It's actually, kids are forgetting a very basic art form that helps a lot in life, and that's how to be bored. Okay? Rainy days before phones, when you were a kid, you know, you couldn't go out to play. Your dad's watching football on the TV and you're not interested. He's watching the horses or doing whatever. It's some boring adult stuff that you just don't want to watch, you know. And you don't have, it's the weekend, you know, so there's no cartoons for you to watch because it's your parents are off work and they control the means to screen time, you know. And you sat there and you're with your brothers and sisters and it was like, what do you want to do? I don't know. Like, do you want to go play, do a jigsaw together, or shall we go and play hide and seek, or shall you make your own fun, let's build a den or something, you know? You kids need to be in a position where they don't know what to do to then find something to do. As soon as you give them a phone or something that's gonna lock their brainwaves into a weird malleable goop state, like you've robbed them of a basic skill that they need to acquire at a young age. How to be bored and how to deal with boredom in a healthy, productive way. We can't steal that from them. And that's what's happening here. That's the problem. And when these kids grow up to be adults who don't know how to be bored, again, as he said, these are the people that are going to run the countries eventually. These are the people that are going to grow up to lead nations and to teach generations. And in that world, the ones who can read and write will rule, okay? And I guarantee the leaders of these tech companies and the people who produce these products and these apps and these shows and this brain rot, you know, and the ones who own the industries and the ones that have all the power and means to control the money who are doing this to your children, I bet they're not doing it to their children. Oh, no. You better believe they are not doing this with their own kids. They do. I bet Mark Zuckerberg, if he has kids, I don't know, Elon Musk, like, he does not let his kids use an iPad. No, I bet Sam Altman doesn't let his children use ChatGPT. I don't know if these people even have children, but they wouldn't. They would not allow it because they know. They designed these systems to be addictive dopamine machines that get you hooked. And it's like their own children. It's like, nope, no phone until you're at least 18. Like, absolutely not. Because they know what the system's been gamed to be. They know the poison this stuff is. So they won't allow their own children to have it. And these are the children that are going to be raised knowing how to read and write, who won't defer responsibility to a machine, who will have learned self-control and how to be bored, how to think and how to reason for themselves. These are the ones who are going to take over these industries and continue working again, probably against us, because like father like son, right? The apple never falls far from the tree. So we, as the people on the bottom, need to take that responsibility now to make sure our children don't fall behind in this future world. And if we have any hope of countering such things, we need to teach them to read and write, but we also need to teach them to be observant about the realities of the world around them at the same time. Age appropriately, of course. Anyway, let's carry on. Let's keep going here. I can't go for much. We've gone for half an hour. Let's watch a few more, and then we'll keep going.
Which is why the rot of Gen Alpha is the fault of their millennial parents. It's gotten so bad that some people are looking around at these Gen Alpha kids and saying we need to bring back corporal punishment.
Some parents need to start spanking their kids again. Earlier, I was shopping, and this kid runs off with my cart. And the kid magically found his mom and said, "Mom, this lady's chasing me." She started screaming at me, and then she smacked me across the face. Smack him, not me.
We've literally had 30 years of anti-bullying,
I would be lying if I had not thought at some point that my children, like, they can act like absolute devils, okay? And yeah, sometimes you can think to yourself while they're screaming away and doing that thing to purposely annoy you, like, if only we lived in an age where the cane was still acceptable. But we wouldn't. We wouldn't hit our children because that's wrong, and that doesn't actually raise healthy children. That raises emotionally insecure and scared children, and when you get them into that state, they're also not learning, they're also not growing. So you have to use your words, you have to set the example of how to deal with conflict, and that is not through violence. So I disagree with that take. But I get the urge. Sometimes kids can be little, they can be, you know, but that's never been the solution. Like, damaging them physically is not going to solve a learning issue. That's just not the case. We have to model the behavior we want them to follow. So I just have to disagree with that there and say that. But at the same time, you know, kids are annoying. And that kid who came and stole the shopping cart and went away to their mum and said that, that's probably a kid who can read and write. That's probably a kid who's having fun in the world and playing by interacting with the world and pushing boundaries. Would that person rather that kid was just sat in the trolley with an iPad? But I mean, you can't have it both ways. Like, what do they want? Do they want kids to be iPad kids? Not to be iPad kids, because that's just awful and terrible, and you're creating a generation of brain rot children. Or do you want kids running around and annoying you and pushing boundaries and being in the world? Like, I think Gen Z are in that weird state where they don't want kids themselves or can't have kids themselves because of financial situations, maybe, or moral implications in their own psyche about bringing a child into this world. So I think they've actually ended up indirectly, like, hating children at the same time as making these observations denigrating, like, millennial parents putting their children in iPads, which, again, is wrong too, morally reprehensible. But it's like, what do you want? Do you want kids looking at iPads or not? Do you want them being kids running around making a noise, or do you want them sat there as zombies? Like, are you're annoyed by both? Like, so, can we please Gen Z? Like, we're making these observations. I mean, probably not. It's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So which is why I'm thinking, let's just stop thinking about it in a generational term and let's focus it on a individual responsibility type way. Like, it's, if you have a child, whatever generation you're a part of, you are responsible for that child's education and how they interact in the world. That's on you. You can't defer it to anybody else.
Anti-violence campaigns, and the Alphites are so bad, and millennials have messed them up so hard that people are calling for corporal punishments to make a comeback. And I will say, I think the Zoomers have seen this and learned their lesson. You see so many videos of every kind of Zoomer saying we will never raise our kids with iPads. And I've even noticed the younger millennials, they kind of get it more. They're more likely to restrict screen time, whereas the older Gen Alpha parents, like Gen X or the older millennials, just give them an iPad because they don't realize how harmful it is, and giving...
Well, I'm glad he said that. That's what I said. That's what I said at the start, isn't it? You know, older millennials are more inclined to than the younger millennials. And I'm glad to see that Zoomers or Gen Z are not going to raise the children with iPads. That's wonderful. But I think also because they're in a world where that is demanded of them, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle unless they choose to home educate. And maybe I'll just leave that there for now, because the link's in the description. You can see here what it is to watch the rest of it for yourself. But it's around this stuff. I guess I want to kind of talk about home education a little bit. Because this is really the solution, it seems. This is the only solution I can see to combat this issue of serious illiteracy with the Gen Alpha and Gen Beta, which are being raised now. They're being born this year, I think, Gen Beta, you know. But the only way we're going to tackle this is if your parents take personal responsibility on educating their own children and not giving them over to the systems of the school systems and expecting their kids to come out suddenly knowing stuff. Because as I've told you, even the teachers aren't teaching kids how to read. They're expecting the parents to do it, and the parents are expecting the teachers to do it. So no one's taking responsibility. And you can't expect strangers to raise your children for you. They're not invested. They don't care about your kids. Only you have the ability to care about your own children to the capacity that you do. No one else is going to. So you do have to start teaching your kids young. Teach them to potty train young. Teach them to read and write young. Read books to them. Get them young. Even if they don't sit still or keep to messing with the pages or whatever, just keep pushing through and doing it, because eventually they'll then want to do it themselves. They'll want independence. And independence is, from that perspective, from their perspective, if you've done that to them, reading the book myself. I don't want you to read the book for me. I want to read it. Oh, go on, kid. Sorry, you know, act like you're annoyed by it, but you're not really. You're happy. Yes, go read the book yourself. Learn how to read those words, because you want to learn to read those words. And I've thankfully got my son in that position right now. I think he's way ahead of where he would be if he went into school at the age of 5, like they do in the UK. As soon as they turn 5, they legally should be in some kind of formal education, okay? They usually enroll them a bit earlier than that when they're just 4. It's at the end of September, October, I think, of this year. My son should be going into school, but we have made the decision not to. We have not enrolled them because we're going to home educate instead. And that is possible. It can be done in the UK. It's harder than it is in America, I think. But there's things we have to do, reports we have to make. But we know confidently our child is already leaps and bounds ahead of the first year reception curriculum for most age 5 to 6-year-olds. He can already recognize all his alphabet, numbers, addition, subtraction. He can write words and he can spell and put words together with his phonics, and he can say 3-letter words and 4-letter words, and he's just turned 4, okay? So if we put him into school, he is going to be bored because he's a child. If he's not stimulated or learning something or excited about what's happening, he's going to start acting out, okay? That's what children do. And no doubt those schools will look at him as a troubled child, a problem child. They won't care that he's advanced or better than the other kids, because schools don't work like that. They don't celebrate or help children who are advanced. Schools pander to the lowest common denominator. Schools focus on helping the struggling children catch up to the basic median. They don't care about helping kids who are ahead of all the other children, especially not in the UK. They don't do that. So there's no benefit to me putting my child into school or for my child. None at all. We can do that, and we can probably teach our child more in 2 hours of home education a day than that school who's trying to teach 30 children a class can teach them in 6 hours or 8 hours or 7 hours. You know, and I'm luckily in the very comfortable position of working from home, okay, save my wife. So we can do this, and I know not everyone can, but if you are going to send your children to the public school systems, if you're going to say, it's like that saying, is it, you know, if you're going to send your children to the Roman schools, don't be surprised when they come back and they're Romans, you know. It's the same thing. You send them to the Babylonian school system, they're going to come back as Babylonians. They're going to come back systematized and brainwashed with the thing the system wants them to think and believe. They're going to be worker drones for the system. And if you want free-thinking children who can read and write efficiently, then don't send them into the public school systems, because they are falling apart. Teachers are quitting en masse, and the ones that are teaching there are not the best, because the best in people's fields are out there working in the field, not teaching. I think we can't trust them. We cannot trust them. And the agendas, the liberal propaganda that's in these schools now, what they're teaching children, the complete denial of biology and the political, socio-political ideologies they're trying to indoctrinate onto your children is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying when you get into it. So no, don't put them in there. That's going to have to be that's the only way I can see any real change happening that could counteract the major issues we have today just going on in society. We have to stop now and teach our children to think critically, and that involves us being actively involved in their education. Not just going to parents' evening, but checking the work that they've done for the day when they come home, correcting things they've been taught in school which go against basic principles, teaching them to question what their teachers are telling them, not just go along with believing everything. Because again, if you can't home educate, then when they get home, educate. That's all you can do. It's the best you can do. And maybe we can see a reversal of what's going on here. So that's it. Home educate and turn off the bloody iPad. That's the only thing I can say. I'll leave that there. Thanks for listening and God bless.
I want you to get together.